But that's facts. If you've got wrinkles in your profile picture, you're probably getting blocked if you say something about my 3-year-old niece. Because you're disgusting, and I have a murder podcast, and I'm not scared to talk about you on the murder podcast.
Because we're talking about you right now.
Yas.
Grossy McGrosserson.
Don't say she's cute. She's 3.
Yeah.
Don't say that her dance moves are cute. That's weird. It's weird. You're weird.
Shame on you, old wrinkly man.
With your bags under your ass.
Not your bags under your ass.
Casey girl, no, I will fight for you, my girl.
Periodico. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Brooke. And when you hear this, I'm 30 years old.
Ah, happy birthday, Brooke. And you're here with us on Teachers on Crime.
Yes, queen. Oh, my God. Are you a gospel singer? Because
you already know, girl.
Yes. That was amazing.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And those of you cringing, so saying my voice is horrible, you're a liar.
You're so lying. We all know it. We know it. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Brooke turned 30 yesterday, y'all.
Don't. I'm mentally not okay.
I mean, but you're a grown woman. She do whatever she want.
Yeah. 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 That's a TikTok sound, isn't it? Yeah. It should be. I can't. I'm really not mentally okay. And I know I will be because I don't have a choice in the matter of how age works.
Big fact.
But, yeah.
I mean, I'm 32 and I'm still chilling. So, you got that to look forward to, you know, just chilling.
Yeah. But see, you have kids and you had a husband.
Child, I don't know more.
You still got kids.
I mean, but I ain't got that man. Okay.
I guess where no one's actually where they want to be at the age that they're currently at.
Oh, best believe this is not what I saw myself as 32, okay?
So I feel like, and if you are, then are you really striving for more? You know what I mean? Like, if somebody's like genuinely satisfied with where they're at in life, are they striving for, like, are you always constantly trying to get better? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, any of our listeners,
I'm just trying to make myself feel better.
Yeah, like anyone who's listening, if you know your life is put together and you're genuinely happy with whatever's going on, are you striving for more or are you just like chilling? Let us know.
Yeah.
Cause yeah. What that look like?
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Oh,
so
man.
Yeah. Technically, I'm not 30 yet. We're pre-recording because I'm going on a birthday trip. And I hope that, I don't know. I hope the birthday trip goes great. And yeah. So I'll be 30 when y'all hear this.
Yeah. So make sure on our post for today's episode, put some balloons. Put that little... What's that little
blower thing?
Yeah, the little blower thing.
The blue.
Or even the emoji with the confetti and the blower thing under the post, yeah. Just to wish Brookie a happy 30th because she deserves it, girl.
Thank you.
And you're welcome, mommy. Oh, man. Oh. Today's been so busy. Like, I feel like I've been on go ever since I woke up, and it's exhausting. But really rewarding because this summer I'm working for a company called Shoelace Learning. And one thing that Brantisha, the school teacher, does not like is being overworked in the summer. But working for Shoelace Learning has been the complete opposite. Like, I'm on their social media cohort, so I'm focusing on, obviously, social media. So if you head over to their TikTok at Dreamscape EDU, which we'll put it in the show notes as well. You'll see my face plastered all over that thing, okay? And Dreamscape is a game that focuses on ELA, content, Common Core aligned, and it's in a game form. So if you guys remember, do you remember the game Clash of the Clans back in the day?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Didn't they make a movie about that?
Did they?
I'm pretty sure there's a movie.
I have to fact check.
Okay, fact check me on that. Yeah.
But it reminds me of Clash of the Clans because you have a Dwell, which is like your kingdom, and you build it up, and you have your army, and you have your currency, and you can battle other people in the game. But literally everything you do in that game, you have to answer ELA-based questions. And I play it at least for like 2 hours a week. But this week I'm going on like 4 because I'm trying to build up my Dwell. It's looking real nice, y'all. It's looking real nice. Maybe I'll put a picture on our story because I'm very proud.
Oh, yeah. And tag them.
Oh, yes. Because I'm very proud of my Dwell. I've been working really hard. So check it out. It's a free ELA resource. They do have premium features as well. But again, if you need something else to zhuzh up and engage your kids in reading, Dreamscape is it, y'all.
That's awesome. And then... yeah, and I think you're doing awesome. And I know that they've even told you that you've done awesome. And I know you don't want to believe it because you're your worst critic. But you're killing it for them.
Thanks, girl. I'm doing my best work.
Yeah. So, yeah. And our merch.
Oh, yes, y'all. It was a great week.
It was. Like, I was stalking the orders.
Like, there was an order before I even woke up that morning.
Yeah.
And I was like, hello?
Well, because I published that night because, like, just with me waking up and I don't know if I'm going to work. I don't know if it's going to be 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. I was like, I'm just going to go ahead and publish it tonight. Yeah. And it's there. Nobody's going to know about it until the morning. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So.
And everybody that has ordered something, like, please, 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 please put it on and tag us in an Instagram story.
Oh, my gosh.
Please. Like, we want to see it. Like, we have the sweatshirts and we have, like, some t-shirts that Mireille did for us, but like we want to see these like designs that we worked hard on. Mary made the apple design. Like, we want to see them on y'all and like make it like reality. Oh my gosh,
yes. And I already have stuff in my cart, like,
yeah,
the yellow shirt, need it. There's like,
oh, I got it in pink.
Yep. I want the light. I want both. Mm-hmm. Because I love the colors, and I think I'm getting a red sweatshirt, which I'm really excited for. So
I have that one in my cart too, because I was like, oh my god, red and black. Yeah,
right,
because those are school colors.
Mine's,
yeah,
what, blue? Mine's blue.
Yeah. There's a navy blue one.
Oh, there is a navy blue one. You're right. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Hey, Trudy.
Oh, you can see her back there. It's just a podcast, they can't see you, they can just hear you. Say hello.
Hi.
She's literally standing at the door with her mouth covered, like, are you recording? Like, ma'am, nobody can see you.
Hello. Hello, Trudy.
Thanks for taking care of grandma.
Oh, absolutely. She's a dream. She's a dream. So sweet, right? She was so funny. She was like, you need to get out of here.
I know.
Me don't want you to get stuck in traffic. I was like, grandma, yeah. I got these glasses. I can see everything. Oh, yeah. You're welcome.
That is adorable.
Mm-hmm.
So adorable.
Mm-hmm. But merch, y'all, get it.
Exactly. Get like, it, keep order. Like, pictures. And it's not going anywhere. We do have like one other thing coming that's like separate, and it's going to be a surprise. Yes. And we're working on it for you guys. And it's going to be like a back to school item. I should have that like almost finalized after Mireille hooks me up with one little piece we're missing.
I can't wait because I need one ASAP.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's going to be my new one all year.
Oh, yeah. I need one ASAP.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you guys are like, ooh, what is it that you need ASAP? You're going to find out.
Yeah. Yep.
You can make a guess, though.
Oh, yeah, you could. You really could. That would be a really good guess.
What do you think it is?
So should I, like, get my whole entire family, like, Teachers Talk Crime coffee mugs? You get a coffee mug. You get a coffee mug. You get a coffee mug.
Yes.
Or you get a sticker. You get a sticker. Ooh, you get a sticker.
Because I didn't even realize on Threadless that we had stickers too until I started clicking accessories. And I was like, stickers?
I love stickers.
So I'm obviously going to get one for my coldest water bottle. Duh.
Yeah, I'm going to get one for my laptop.
Ooh, I'm going to get one for that too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, but merch, get it. Take pictures. We want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're just going to jump into our Estudiante Estrella.
Yes.
Yes. Our estudiante Estrella. Boom. That was new. I don't know how I feel about it. It just kind of exited my body.
That was a new one. That's, but you got to switch it up on them. You got to keep them on their toes.
Yeah, just like the intro. Tears all cry. You know?
Yep.
But today's Estudiante. Estrella.
Yeah, I was about to say that's backwards.
Well, I'm tripping. Is Lugo.
Lugo.
And Lugo did this review like back when we first came out and I didn't read it. But I'm reading it now because my girl is in Germany. She is all the way across the world.
Lugo, why didn't you take about 10 stickers with you and just put them up everywhere?
Yeah, be like Guten
Tag. Make us international.
Yeah, imagine. We are international.
We are international if you look at our stats, yes.
But I don't think we got anybody in Germany.
You know, let's see. I don't know.
I don't think we got anybody in Germany. So while you look, I'm going to read Lugo's review. And it's titled, Are You Kidding Me? With
love
five stars. And her review reads, As a true crime enthusiast born and raised and an educator, I love listening to TTC. I love the banter and the jokes. It feels like I'm sitting down with two girlfriends. Because you are.
Yep.
I literally find myself trying to insert my opinion when they're talking, lol. These ladies are absolutely amazing, and I look forward to listening every week. Can't wait to see what's in store, because I know it will be amazing.
Yeah. We've had, she's in Germany, which is a part, nope, that's right there. We've had 33 downloads in Germany.
No way!
Mm-hmm.
Guten Tag!
Yeah. Yes. So we have at 33 and we're on episode 28. So that means like somebody has listened to all of them at least.
That's decent.
Yeah.
I like it.
So if, Oh, you got to give Lugo her shout out. Okay.
Oh, yeah. So Lugo, have fun in Germany. And also, thank you so much for your review. This gold stars for you. Bing.
Yeah.
it never gets old. I love that jingle.
Yes, it's really nice.
I almost want to put that on a sweatshirt.
Okay, so new idea, because I've been thinking about it. You know, I have a lot of think time on my commute. And
what'd you be thinking about, girl?
Just everything. And I thought about, like, we have to start writing down things that we say regularly. Like, yours needs to, literally a phrase needs to say, however, comma. Like, but with the word comma.
A comma, like little where the comma would be.
Yes.
Oh,
however, comma. Yep. And then like the bing, put bing, yep, and then bing. Sit down, shut up, murder's about to begin.
Yep.
And then like just little like phrases that we find ourselves saying.
Yikes on tikes on bikes. Oh my God. And it has to be has to have a picture of a kid on a bike.
Yes.
And it'd be like, oh, yikes.
So funny.
Oh my gosh.
So like, and it'd just be like a mesh of all the things that we say.
Yes.
It's an idea.
I like it. However, okay. Comma is definitely my jam, though. I appreciate you for noticing that.
Yeah, I said it the other day, and I was like, Ashley is just, she is just all
I'm
kinds of rubbing off on me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you are.
I mean, would we even be friends if I wasn't?
Correct. You're correct.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So you ready to
next,
get
them with it? I was about to say, the next phrase that would be on the sweatshirt is, sit down, shut up, the murder is about to begin.
Ahora.
Also on the sweatshirt.
Yep.
Disclaimer, Ashley and Brooke are just two teachers with opinions about true crimes. So they decided to make a podcast. Sit back, grab your load of teas, and let the crime lesson begin.
Okay, so this case, as I was researching it, I realized the more I found, I was like, dang, this would have made a great happy hour case. But it's not. So I do have the next happy hour case ready to go.
Hey.
This one also, you'll just see. You'll see why. Anyways, here we go.
Okay.
So Thanksgiving is a time to be with your family and overeat everything in sight, correct?
Oh my gosh. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday.
Okay, so Thanksgiving, I always travel because I'm just very, very stubborn and the calendar doesn't decide when I have to see my family. Mm-hmm. So I always take a trip and then I go see them after Thanksgiving or before Thanksgiving. And I'm like, happy Thanksgiving, guys.
I have to go to Thanksgiving because my grandma makes the best stuffing in the land. Like, but no one in my family really eats stuffing like that. So she makes me like my own little thing that we share, that I share with like, you know, like one or two of my other cousins who like think they like stuffing, but they don't have an addiction like I do.
Right.
Yeah, but it's just, I just love, because I live in Delaware, I don't have the opportunity to see them as much. So Thanksgiving, when it's like my year and I have the girls for Thanksgiving, I always have to come to New York and just see the fam. So I love me some Thanksgiving, some turkey.
I love it. This Thanksgiving, I won't be traveling because we'll have a new baby in the family. Mary.
Yes, Mary.
Yes, we're having a baby boy.
Oh, I just can't wait to buy him all the bow ties and suspenders.
I know. It's so cute. It's so cute. Oh, I'm so ready. So that's where we'll be for Thanksgiving. So, yeah. He's literally due on the 27th.
Wow.
Yeah, Thanksgiving baby.
What a gift.
I know. So like I was saying, Thanksgiving is a time to be with your family and overeat everything in sight. And definitely wear your stretchy pants. It is not a time for a mass murder.
Dang, a not a hunt. Mass.
Mm-hmm. You heard that word.
Wow.
But in November of 1998, that is what happened at the Pravaki residence. Mm. The Pravaki family was celebrating Thanksgiving 2 days later on a Sunday, November 29th, but there would be nothing to be thankful for on this day.
Wow.
Before the families could even make it to the table to enjoy their feast and family time, five of them would be shot in cold blood, and a mass manhunt would take place in search for the youngest family member, who was immediately the prime suspect, Seth Pravaki.
Seth, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Why would he do that?
Oh.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Imagine though, like just getting together with your family, like, oh, let's just feast out, have a good time, watch some football.
Exactly.
And then the youngest kid is just, oh gosh, just keep going. I don't enjoy this, Seth.
Police investigated the crime scene and discovered all five victims were shot at close range, and it is unclear if Seth spoke to the victims before killing them. A day later, on November 30th, police found and arrested Seth and accused him, along with another friend, for methodically shooting five people in the home. It is believed that the shootings were stretched out and done one by one starting at 12:45 p.m. The crime wasn't discovered, however, until midnight when the body of Seth's father, an elementary school teacher, was found in the driveway of the home by the female victim's mother and father. And I'll get to her name in a second.
Wow.
The mother and father of April Boss, who was Seth's brother's girlfriend, did not show up for work. When she did not show up for work, the couple got worried. And they went to where she was planning on going to have Thanksgiving. They went to the house. Mm-hmm. The couple pulled up and saw a figure run into the woods before discovering the scene at the house.
Wait, so they pulled up and saw Seth running into the woods?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a close call.
Okay. And a lot of these were not planned.
Wow.
So the victims were as follows. The father, Stephen Pravaki, 50 years old, taught fifth grade. Seth's mother, Linda Pravaki, 49, was a receptionist at a medical office. Stephen's father, John Pravaki, 78, lived nearby and is assumed to be retired. Seth's brother, Jedediah Pravaki, and April Boss, the girlfriend of the brother, both 19 and were studying at a community college to both become teachers.
Wow.
Yes.
I just need
five
to
victims.
Why he did this? Is there a why?
Oh, well, you know.
Oh,
we'll
gosh, there's no why. This is gonna hurt my heart.
This tight-knit community was literally up in arms about what happened, and the high school where Stephen, the father, taught, and this is also the high school where Seth was a senior and he attended as a student, they immediately went on lockdown Monday morning out of fear that Seth might show up at the school.
That was a smart choice, though.
Absolutely. Well, you have to. Okay, so the crime scene was discovered after midnight. Mm-hmm. This is officially Monday.
Yeah.
And I mean, midnight. The kids are waking up at 6, getting ready to go to school by 7.
And they also didn't have him yet, so they didn't know what.
Exactly. He's still on the loose. Mm-hmm. So one student, Genevieve, was so struck by this news that she ended up like leaving school. And she was so upset by this news. I don't know if it was because she was friends with Seth or if Seth's father was her teacher, but for some reason this really affected her. Mm-hmm. And so she ended up actually like leaving school. And as she was driving, she saw a hitchhiker who was soaking wet from the rain. She stopped to help. And in her horror, it was Seth.
No.
Genevieve played it off and took Seth to a friend's home where he asked to go. So she's literally just in the car, knowing what she knows, just like, so where do you want to go, Seth?
And Genevieve was a student or a teacher? I'm sorry.
She's a student.
Okay. So why was she at school? I thought they closed school.
It went on lockdown.
Oh, so it went on lockdown. And once it went on lockdown, she was like, all right, I got to get.
I'm out. Okay. I can't do this.
Okay. So then you pick up this boy. Well, she obviously didn't know him. You know what I mean? Because I feel like if she would have known him, they would have had more to talk about maybe in the car, and she wouldn't necessarily have to play it cool.
Yeah, but she knows what he just did.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But like, I don't know.
I mean, can you imagine being like, so did you study for Mr. Larry's math test?
Oh, no, I wouldn't have said nothing to him.
Yeah.
That's so wild. I mean, I'm glad she was able to keep her cool because nobody knows if he was still, you know.
Exactly.
Packing.
Well, you know, not even that, but like he doesn't even know that people know yet.
Oh, yeah.
So he's like, what's up, Genevieve?
Just
how
like,
you doing?
Chilling.
Yeah.
But if you shot them at that close range, like there's no blood on you, sir. Like you had to change your clothes. Or
okay. So Genevieve drops Seth off at this home where he asked to go. This is like a friend of Seth's home.
Okay.
And once Seth was out of the car, she immediately called 911 with details of the location that she dropped him off at.
What a smart girl.
Well, the friend actually wasn't home, clearly, because people are at school. But they had this like pole barn. It's called a pole barn in their like backyard. And so Seth like went back there and like hid out.
What's a pole barn? Is it like a barn?
Yeah, essentially. It's okay. Like, I mean, depends on what you want to store there. Like, Kristen has a pole barn, but they just have hay in theirs.
Is it, like, as big as a real barn? Like,
yeah, but it's not closed in a lot of times.
It's open?
Sometimes they're closed in, sometimes they're not.
It's an open barn?
Yeah, but there's not, like, animals in it.
I never heard of that before.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
The more you know.
Mm-hmm. So also the friend's house that Seth got dropped off at, I do want to point out, like, this friend was a band member with Seth. Seth was actually part of a band.
What did he play?
You know, they were more of like a rock band.
Oh, like.
Yep. So I can tell you this. They didn't make it big.
Okay.
They're probably no longer together. I know they're not together anymore.
I would hope not. Cause
yeah.
What?
Exactly.
The prison rock band, what?
Boning into the practices.
Yo, put me on speaker. I got my toothpick for the drums. Like, what? You know you get no daggone guitar in jail, man.
Tapping on the phone thing, making the drums.
Does it sound sick? Like, what?
I cannot. He's an idiot.
Yes.
So obviously the police found him at this property that was described to them, and they arrested him at 1 p.m. So like school went all day on lockdown until 1 p.m.
Dang.
Yeah. It is believed through evidence that Seth's brother was shot first while sitting and watching TV.
Wow.
The mother was shot when she got out of the shower. The father and grandfather were killed when they arrived home for the Thanksgiving dinner. The father had gone and like picked up the grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And the girlfriend, Seth's brother's girlfriend, died when she walked into the home and walked in on all of this. And Seth later claims like she wasn't, he didn't know she was supposed to be there, but you know, she showed up.
So was, I mean, you might get into this later, but was there a silencer on the gun? Because, like, if his brother got shot first, boom. Mom's in the shower. She's next. Boom. Like, she didn't hear the shot?
You know, I could not find, I had the exact same thing. I was like, but if she's in the shower and she hears a gunshot, like, she's not going to mistake that for, like, a slam door or something.
It's a very distinct sound.
It is. It is. There was no, like, I mean, I'm going to get into where the gun was, like, yeah. Now, like, where the gun is, but, like, it was never said if there was a silencer. I do know that Seth moved his brother's body into the basement after killing him just in case someone, like, came home. Mm. So, yeah.
Okay.
Seth confessed that he then called a friend, Wallace, to help him move the bodies around and make it look like a robbery. Wallace was later charged with being an accessory and disposing of the firearm.
Okay.
Now, let's go back and let's talk about Seth. Who is Seth? Seth was 6'4 and a senior at Reith's Puffer School District.
That's an interesting name for a school.
I thought the same thing.
Reith's Puffer.
Imagine those cheers. From the cheer squad.
Rah, rah, Reith's Puffer.
It doesn't even go.
Like, what is even your mascot? A puffer fish? I'm sorry. I don't mean no disrespect to y'all. I'm really just curious. I really just want to know.
The puffer fish. Like, it might be.
The reef puffer. I mean, like a coral reef? I don't know.
Yep. Maybe. I don't know. I just know that he was a senior at Reith's Puffer School.
Okay, cool.
However, Seth wasn't a model student. He had been known to have troubles at home. And Seth, on two other prior occasions, had recently been caught stealing and using drugs.
Stealing, like, just in general?
Just in general. Okay. Just petty theft from stores. Yeah. Okay. And he had been using drugs. But sources said, like, other teens who knew Seth, they all have similar issues and they don't murder five people in cold blood. Yeah. Like, people that kind of started speaking out were like, yeah, I mean, like, he, like, robbed a gas station and he, like, smoked some weed. But, like, so does Larry, and Larry didn't kill nobody.
Yeah, especially his family.
Exactly.
Like, what did they do to you?
However, a family friend came forward after the killings and told police that Seth's father believed his son did not have a conscience, even called his own son a psychopath.
Oh.
Now, here's where we could put, you know, our spin on it. Because if you as a father truly believe, and this is, I am not speaking ill on this victim, but this does come into play with what we talk about. Mm-hmm. If you as a father believe that your son is displaying these tendencies, psychopath tendencies, why are we not seeking help?
Yeah, it's just like the Austie Frosty case.
Yeah.
They knew and they were talking about it and it just escalated so quickly that they never had a chance to.
They couldn't.
Yeah.
And this could have been the dad, like, claiming, hey, yes, he's a psychopath. We're working on getting him help.
Yeah.
His mother also claimed that he was becoming out of control.
In what sense?
The stealing, the going to court, the drug use, the fighting with his dad, things like that.
So everything was just escalating at this point.
Correct.
Okay.
The family friend even remembered Seth breaking the dishwasher in a fit of rage.
I'm sorry. What did that dishwasher do to you?
And all I can picture is, like, him standing on top of it, jumping up and down.
Yeah, because
I want eggs. I don't know. Like, that's just what I'm picturing.
Because I really don't think if you slam it like that, it's going to break. So, like, I feel like you'd have to do some dance, or maybe, like, kick it or something. I don't know. Something.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Okay, so like I said, Seth's anger is being expressed through family friends at this point. However, I have something interesting for you guys. Seth confessed on December 1st, 1998 at 1:37 p.m. to Police Detective Sergeant Dennis Edwards after he murdered five people at his home. And I will tell you what he said to Edwards as we go from the actual transcript. So what I'm actually going to do is we're going to read the real transcript of this confession. And Ashley, you're going to read Detective Sergeant Edwards and I'll read Seth.
A Rita's Theater? Yes. Oh, shucks. Hold on. I exactly. gotta get my police voice on.
A read aloud.
You're arrested. Okay. I'm ready.
Okay. And so you are starting.
Okay. If you start from just prior to the incident, what led up to the incident? If you have any questions, no, sorry. If I have any questions, I'll stop you.
Okay. Me and my dad never really got along, at least 5 or 6 years, and we'd always argue, just stupid stuff. And my mom would take his side no matter what. She'd always take his side. It's just been getting worse the past 6 months. When he talked to me, he just yelled at me, never had anything positive say to me. I used to be real close to my brother. We used to get along so well. In the past 6 months to a year, he was beginning to take sides with my parents more. He used to tell me how bad I was doing in school, but I wasn't going to go anywhere, that I wasn't going to go anywhere in life. And then on Sunday, my parents told me that they didn't love me anymore.
Which one told you that they didn't love you anymore?
My father told me that he didn't love me anymore.
Okay.
And that he wanted me to move out. He didn't want me to live there anymore. My mom and brother didn't say anything.
What happened then?
Out of anger and rage, I went upstairs in my dad's closet and got his .22 caliber pistol and loaded the clip and went downstairs. And my dad had left. We was supposed to eat dinner at 1:30. This was about 1:15. I came up behind my brother. He was sitting in the living room and I shot him once in the back of the head and I dragged his body downstairs so no one would see it. And then my dad got home with my grandpa. I didn't know my grandpa was supposed to be here, but when they got in the door, I shot them both in the back of the head.
Where were you at the time when they came in the door?
I was in the living room when I heard the car pull up, so I knew they were coming in and...
Okay, did you hide somewhere when they came in the door?
No, I acted like I was just walking out the door and I had the gun behind my back and they were facing the opposite direction and I shot him in the back of the head. And then I shot my grandpa again because he wasn't dead yet.
I need you to speak up a little. Your voice is dropping a little bit. What happened after that?
My mom was in the shower while this was taking place. And then she had just gotten out of the shower and I went upstairs and went in the bathroom and shot her in the back of the head. Then when I was coming back downstairs, April came through the front door before I could stop her. And she saw my grandpa and dad and she thought it was just a joke. She walked into the kitchen and I shot her in the back of the head. I didn't know she was going to come to dinner.
What happened after that?
Then I called Steven because I didn't know what to do.
What'd you tell Steve?
I told him I killed my family and he was just in shock and I asked him to come over.
Speak up, please.
I asked him to come over and he did. He came over like half an hour later. I begged him to help me to clean up.
Did he help you clean up?
At first he didn't want to, but I begged him and used our friendship against him.
Okay. And what did you do at that time?
I asked him to get rid of it for me because he was leaving. After we cleaned up the bodies downstairs, we wrapped them up in sheets. He took as little involvement as he could.
I can't understand you. He took as little involvement?
As he could. He did. I did most of the work. He just...
Why did you wrap the bodies in sheets?
Because I was going to bury them.
Where were you going to bury them at?
I hadn't decided.
What happened after that?
We wrapped the bodies up. We wrapped my grandpa, my dad, April in sheets, and we dragged them outside to the workshop off the garage and left them there. Steve had to go get back. He didn't tell his parents where he was going. He took the gun with him, and I don't know where he threw it. He didn't tell me. I didn't want to know.
And then?
And then I cleaned up all the blood downstairs.
How'd you clean up the blood downstairs?
With towels and rags.
What'd you do with the towel, with the rags and stuff?
Threw them in the garbage bags and put them all in the workshop.
Okay. And then what happened?
And then I cleaned up the downstairs to make it look like nothing happened at first glance.
Okay. And where was Steve while you were cleaning up downstairs?
He went back to his house and he went to a church group, youth group meeting or something like that that night. And I asked him if he could come back after that and help me. And he said he would. And we came back later that night. I left to go over to my friend's house because I couldn't be there. And I picked him up at his girlfriend's house later that night after he got dropped off by his friends. And we went back to my house. We cleaned up all the stuff. We couldn't get the bodies out.
Why not?
Too heavy. We couldn't lift them.
Okay.
So we just decided to leave them there where they lay and make it look like a robbery.
Okay. What'd you do to make it look like a robbery?
We took all the sheets off them and we put in plastic bags, thinking I'd burn those, put them in the trunk of the car. And we were going to take the TV and VCR and stereo and make it look like somebody just robbed the place.
What happened then?
Then we made every, bagged it up in the trunk. We noticed a car pull up, so I quick ran out and shut the trunk and ran back inside, and we went out the slider door. And we were looking out through the back garage door just to see who it was, and I thought it was a cop, so we both ran. We ran across to the empty lot next door, and we waited for a couple of minutes, and then I decided to go back and check to make sure it was a cop. And then I went back, and it was, and I was making my way back. I was walking down the road to where Steve was at, and there was a car coming down the road, so I jumped in a ditch just to make sure it wasn't another cop, and it was. And I saw his sirens go off about 15 to 20 yards before the spot where Steve was hiding. So I thought they saw him, and I just ran back in the woods. I didn't know what to do. I ran back to the spot where he was, and I didn't see him anywhere, so I went a little further ways back in the woods, and I was looking for him, and I couldn't find him. And then I went back a little further and waited to see what was going to happen. I could see cop cars going up and down the road, and then I made my way across the creek. I was gonna circle around the house to see what was going on from the other neighbor's yard. And then I heard dogs, and I knew they were search dogs, and they were gonna start searching for us, so I ran. I ran straight to the Whitehall Road and across Duck Lake Road and down Duck Lake, and then I turned on Gibson, and then I could hear the dogs following, so I kept running and ran across the golf course, and I circled back around and came back up Duck Lake Road again. And then from there, I just made my way west, crossing over roads, crisscrossing my direction. I could always hear the dogs and see lights, and I would always avoid them and keep making my way west. And then I got to Weber Road, and I couldn't hear any more dogs. I couldn't see any police cars, so I thought I lost them. So I kept going north a couple of blocks and around where the Weber meets the Riley Thompson again, and I just laid down and tried to sleep under a pine tree. And then I woke up the next morning, and I stayed there for a few hours, and I thought that they weren't pursuing me anymore, so I was going to make my way back to Jason Fritz's house where I planned to commit suicide, but no one was home, so I went in the back of the pole barn and waited for them to come home, and the police found me and arrested me.
So is there anything further that you would like to say? How do you feel about what you did?
I feel awful. I wish I'd never done it. It was all a mistake. I take it back 1,000 times. When I ran, it wasn't to get away. In a way, it was to get away so I could kill myself, because I couldn't live with myself for doing this to my family.
Did you buy any ammunition?
No.
Did you steal any ammunition?
No.
Why did you go to Majors to get ammunition? Am I reading that stuff in the parentheses?
It says that he was shown a surveillance tape of him at the Majors, yeah. Because okay. I planned on going small game hunting on Sunday. I never thought about killing my parents until that morning.
Okay. This statement is concluded at approximately 1:51 p.m.
What you think?
Wow, what a reader's theater.
I know. That was pretty good.
That was decent. And not the fact that I was reading, you know.
Confession.
But he was just really upfront with everything. He was very upfront. Like, he didn't sugarcoat anything. I mean, I'm not sure how it was read. I mean, he was just like, I feel awful. Like, I imagine that he said it like that, and I don't really feel his sincerity in that statement.
I could definitely picture him mumbling because he was told to speak up twice.
Yeah.
But, oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
But the details, though, like, I crossed Duck Lake Road this, and I did this, and I crisscrossed into Weber Road, and...
Like, sir, you was like, all right, now I'm crossing over here. Like, why did you have all these details? Like, I ran up some roads. I kept going west. I didn't know where I was at, but he knew the roads and what was happening, and then sleeping under a pine tree, and just, wow. Wow.
Yeah. But did you hear a why?
No. Well, he was angry with his dad. That was essentially, I mean, I know in the beginning he said he was angry with his dad, but as far as like, this happened, so I did this. No, there was never that.
Exactly.
Huh.
So during his confession, what we just read, and keep in mind, we did read that verbatim. Seth told Dennis Edwards, you obviously heard us say this, that Stephen, his father, quote, never had anything positive to say to me, and that it was like his brother and mother had also turned against him. Some believe that this was the motive, that it was simply Stephen, the father, and Seth were fighting. Some people are like, no, that just really doesn't make sense. Seth also went on to say in his confession, if you were listening, that, quote, my father told me he didn't love me anymore and that he wanted me to move out. My mom and brother didn't say anything. So when Seth added this to his confession, he was more or less saying that he felt alone. And a lot of people say that what stemmed from it is that because Seth had nowhere else to go, he felt like the only way to get out of this debacle was to kill his family, because his dad wanted him to leave. He wanted him to move out.
But did you really think, like, killing all of them, that you were just going to chill in the house? Because you claimed you were alone before because, you know, your dad didn't like you and your brother and your mom didn't say anything. But now you've killed all of them.
Exactly.
So now what?
So Dennis Edwards, though, like later on countered when he was speaking to Seth, not in the confession part, but it was later quoted, quote, "What does it say about a person who takes out his anger not just on one individual, but on everyone else?" And this is like a very valid point to make when you think about his psychological state that even his dad was noticing he was having.
Yeah.
Because I guess what Edward was like trying to say is like, okay, you're fighting with your dad. No, it still doesn't make sense to take out your anger on your dad, but it makes more sense than to kill five innocent people.
Yes. Yes. Because that's where, like, it seems like the anger stemmed from his father, like you said, and the mom and the brother didn't necessarily add to that, but they didn't, like, what's the word I'm looking for, like, back him up.
And I guess that's what he was looking for, like his mom and brother to be like, stop doing that, Steven. But like, if just Seth, like, if you're acting up, if you're out here robbing folks and stealing and doing drugs, then yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure your mom's gonna take your dad's side.
Yeah, because you acting crazy.
Yeah, and they're supposed to be a united front. Like, they are a team. That's how you raise children.
Yeah.
So let's get into the why, because obviously there are theories about why Seth did what he did. Mm-hmm. However, Seth stayed silent all the way to the end, besides this one testimonial that he wrote while he was in prison. And we will cover that shortly.
Okay.
However, some theories speculate that it was a manic episode. Get this. Let me give you this one. Some people speculate that it was a manic episode caused by a court-ordered antidepressant that he was taking ever since he got caught shoplifting.
Oh, snap. This ain't the first case we talked about this
in. Nope. Nope.
Interesting.
Yep.
I mean, however, it was just court ordered. It wasn't like he was overdosing on it.
You know what? You said it, though. Even though it was court ordered, people were like, well, we can't even prove he was actually even taking it.
That is true. That is correct.
Yeah. Another theory, which was supported by that testimonial that Seth later wrote in prison and to a relative, was that Seth claimed he was high off of LSD.
Oh.
But reading that confession, that don't sound like somebody on LSD to me.
No, because I feel like even if you, I mean, granted, I don't do that stuff, so I wouldn't know. But like, I feel like if you are high on drugs, you wouldn't remember that many details.
Yeah.
I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know. I just assume that you wouldn't be able to recount it like, oh, I turned on this road. I went down this road. I did this. And then I turned around and I saw the dogs and I kept running. I kept going west. Like, sir, how did you know you were going west?
That's my thing. I don't know. I don't know.
I try and look
never
for the North
eat,
Star.
Never eat soggy waffles.
That's all. That's about all I know. And then look for the North Star. But I don't even know what that star looked like. I know it's bright, but a lot of them things be bright.
I don't know which one you are. So I. Again, that theory didn't make sense to me either. I'd never done LSD, so I don't know. I don't know either. But to me, if you were coming off of a high or if you were high and then once you're questioned, it would be like, I think I ran. I don't really know. I could have been walking. I don't know.
Yeah, it was very certain. And also, if he was on this, did they test his blood to see if it was in his system?
No, that's not in court documents.
Huh.
So, again, this is a theory he came out with later in his testimonial.
Well, how come they wouldn't test him anyway, regardless? Like, I feel like that's one of the first things that they do.
Like, drug test you just, even if it was for marijuana.
Yeah, just to see, like, what's going on.
Well, was that protocol in 1998?
Is it even protocol now?
See, I don't know.
Because I feel like everybody who gets arrested isn't drug tested.
No, unless they're not. There's
like, but here's the thing. If I see a kid and he kills his like entire family, I'm instantly going to be like, okay, well, was he high on drugs?
Yeah, that would be my first theory in 2022.
Yeah. True.
And I mean, like, the fentanyl crisis right now, like, it would most definitely be my first theory because, like, they lace in everything. They're apparently, have you seen, and this is a tangent, sorry, guys, but I keep seeing on Facebook now, granted, take Facebook with a grain of salt, but, like, they're lacing dollar bills and, like, 20s and stuff with fentanyl and dropping them in public places. And, like, when people pick them up, it's, like, contact trace. But then there's people that will get on there and comment, and they're like, well, that's not how fentanyl actually works. You can't ingest it into your system through contact tracing. I don't know how it works.
Neither do I.
I'm just not going to pick up no money.
That's
I
what I was about to say. Yep. If we ain't teach you anything today, leave that money on the ground.
Go get your bread somewhere else.
Yeah. Earn it the regular way.
From the bank. And then obviously the last theory that we've been discussing is that Seth was just a very angry boy who had no conscience, as his dad said, and just wanted to get rid of the one thing that he felt like held him back, and that was his family. I will say it's very sad, though, like, and even hearing it from Seth's own mouth that, like, his grandfather and April took him by surprise and, like, he never intended to kill them but didn't think twice once the opportunity arose.
Yeah, that's wild. Like, seeing your grandfather, seeing your brother's girlfriend, you were just like, oh, snap, boom, boom. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
There wasn't like, oh, snap, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. It was just like, you know what? It's another witness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So obviously he's arrested and he confessed. So we're going to trial, right? I mean, that's a given.
Are we even going to trial?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to trial.
I thought if you could, well, he probably pleaded not guilty, didn't he?
Exit. You know how we've been talking about this.
Oh, that is so annoying.
So according to sources, once Seth appeared in court, it is said that Seth asked the judge for a break on his bond because, quote, I would just like a chance to get out and see the world before I go away for a long time.
Sir, are you joking? You was just running down all the blocks and up the streets. You saw the world. Good night.
You saw the pine tree. You slept under it.
Yeah. You saw the creek. You saw Duck Road Lane.
Mm-hmm.
You saw it all. No.
Did he really think the judge was going to be like, you know what? I think Australia's nice this time of year. Here you go, son.
Right? Like, is you stupid or is you dumb?
Like, pick one. So, and I mean, I wrote what we just said kind of after that. I'm like, well, you know, Seth, you should have thought about that before you killed your family. Like, you know. Also, during trial, let's bring back up Wallace. You know, Stephen Wallace was the friend's name, right? Okay, so we didn't say his last name in the confession because that's not what Seth called him. Also, during trial, Stephen Wallace, the friend Seth called to help him move the bodies, testified, quote, I wasn't using my best judgment that day after I saw what I saw. And, quote, I figured he'd be caught one way or another, and I tried to pretend I didn't know about it. I wish now I would have contacted authorities.
Gooder.
Yeah.
Gooder.
Wallace went on to say at trial, quote, he just simply said his problems would be solved if his parents were dead and he would kill them. He said that, and he didn't take that statement, and I didn't take that statement very seriously, though, and assumed it was just a typical relationship teens had with their parents. Stephen Wallace said that Seth called him twice that day. The first time was just a chat, and the second, quote, he said, he told me he'd made a big mistake. He didn't specifically say what the mistake was. I asked about it, and he simply said, come over, unquote.
I mean, I feel like as mad as I've ever been with my parents, I've never been like, oh, I want to kill them. You know what I mean? Like,
never even crossed my mind.
Yeah, like, it's never, no. So, like, that alone, like, if someone was like, oh, I'm going to kill my mom, like, I'm taking that shit seriously. Excuse my French. I know it's not happier. Sorry.
No, but it should be taken seriously.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to take that lightly. I'm going to be like, yo, your child said he's trying to kill you.
I'm probably calling your mom and being like, hey, you might want to put a lock on your door.
Child, you might want to sleep in a hotel.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So Seth was ultimately convicted on May 27th of 5 counts of murder when he appeared in court at 18 years old for the fatal shooting of his mother, father, brother, and his brother's girlfriend and his grandfather in Muskegon, Michigan. On November, I got it right. I said it right.
You did a good job.
On November 29th, 1998.
Okay.
That's when he like committed the murders. Seth, once in jail though, became a Christian and he wrote a testimonial. In 2007. Now, I don't know that I put this in here. It might be later on or whatever, but I was reading that like Dennis Edwards, the guy that took the confession, like he found out about this newfound religion.
Yeah, yeah.
And essentially, I can't quote him directly, but he was like eye rolling and like, yeah, name somebody who doesn't go to jail and find religion.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not to take lightly. Like as a Christian, if Seth truly did find God, that is amazing. Good for you.
It is. But like the rate that, you know, people go to prison and suddenly find the Lord.
Oh, absolutely.
Like all y'all is not like he ain't come for all y'all. He did not. Some of y'all are fronting.
Yeah, because you think it's going to look good at your parole hearing.
Mm-hmm. And child, exactly. You're not.
They know what they're doing. So, speaking of prison talk, I was on Prison Christian Talk. What? Have you seen that?
What is that?
It's literally where the prisoners are like singing praise and worship and getting baptized. Like people go in and like baptize prisoners that want to be baptized.
You was lying.
You're lying. So it's like prison talk and Christian talk.
The next video that comes across your FYP, you're going to send it to me because I do not believe this.
Okay, I will. I'll do it. I will. Oh, I love seeing the inmates with the hands up praising Jesus.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
How is prison talk even a thing? And now with prison Christian talk. Wow.
Prison Christian talk.
Wow. TikTok never.
And failed. You've said it out loud, so it's going to be on your FYP
it
now.
It is. You hear me? You hear me, Frank? That's my FBI agent. That's what I call him.
Yeah.
Put some Christian prison talk on my FYP. Thanks, yep. Frank.
Yep. It'll be there.
As soon as I open it, I just imagine.
And you're going to be like, bro.
I'm literally going to be like, this is real. Frank really listened to me.
Yeah. I'm telling you. So, like I said, in 2007, Seth wrote this testimonial, and I put it in air quotes because, you know, I mean, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That when he was arrested, this is what he said in pieces of his testimonial, that when he was arrested, he was, quote, coming off a strong dose of LSD, unquote, and that he threw up a lot and wanted to kill himself. However, when comparing this testimonial with his confession, Seth never mentioned anything about drugs or being on any substance when he was giving his confession to Dennis Edwards back in 1998. So let's fast forward to 2007, and now all of a sudden we have a new theory, and it's like, I was on drugs. What are you talking about?
And then if you were throwing up that much, people would have noticed.
Also, wouldn't Edwards have been like in the confession, dude, you want some water? You need a trash can? You good?
Yeah. Like, sir, no, it was a stretch, but no.
Yeah. Seth also in his testimonial went on to say that his upbringing is the reason for his actions, stating, quote, my parents raised me with an atheistic or agnostic view of life. And, quote, I never had a lot of friends and I was antisocial as early as grade school. He continued to say, quote, I was considered a troublemaker and often found myself in the principal's office.
What does not believing in God have to do with murdering your parents?
Right, because being atheist, you don't believe in anything.
Yeah,
like, you literally believe your body just goes into the dirt. That's it. Literally nothing.
So I'm finding a hard time believing how that correlates with you murdering your entire family.
Exactly. I don't know if he was trying to take like a satanic approach, but again, if you're atheist, you don't even believe in Satan.
Yeah. So like, again, you tried and you failed at that, my man.
You're contradicting yourself.
Yeah. You're just looking for a way to look better for what you did. And it's just making you look like dumber.
Right.
To think that people are really going to believe this.
And like with the whole, I didn't have a lot of friends. You literally had a friend show up
for
you. You also had a girl pick you up that was your friend, drop you off at another friend's house.
And not to mention when you called your friend to tell him what you did, remember in his confession, he said, and I threw like our friendship in it. Well, you know what I mean? Like
threw it in his face. Yeah.
If you're really my friend, you help, but you ain't got no friends. And just because, again, just because you don't have friends does not equate to you being a murderer.
Exactly. Exactly.
No.
So Seth even went on in his testimonial to say that he began experimenting with alcohol and weed when he was 14. Then he moved on to LSD and speed at 16. Which, okay, let's take this into our teacher aspect. These are red flags because if what he's saying is true, which we do have his mom and them saying he was in trouble for drugs and stealing and things like that.
Yeah.
If these things are true, then was this being reported? Because for me, I report all claims of drugs and alcohol in school if minors are involved. Like, meaning like if my kids are like telling me that, God, I can't even remember the guy's name now. But like one of my students this year always joked about how a drug dealer lived across the street from them. And he was like, well, I know where to go get drugs. I can just go get it at Julius's house. Mm-hmm. You know, and like pointed the finger. I was like, you probably really shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I have to report these things. So I'm, and I, again, 1998, I was in school, not teaching. So I don't know if mandated reporter was like as big then as it was, it is now.
I mean, they had the DARE program, so I imagine it was.
True. So like, could we have not gotten him to, like, if he's using LSD and speed and weed and drinking all before 16 years old, why are we not in a rehab facility?
Yeah.
Why are we not in some group counseling?
And it would also attest to his stealing, because maybe he was stealing to sell stuff to make money to buy the drugs.
You know what? Listen to this next quote.
Uh-oh.
He even said, quote, I started selling drugs to support myself and my habit. I played bass in a rock band and was promiscuous throughout high school, unquote.
Promiscuous?
I don't know a male describing themselves as promiscuous, but, you know.
Yeah, because that Nelly Furtado song, promiscuous girl.
Yep.
What? Well, she just say, promiscuous, bye. She does that. Yeah.
So again, back to this whole friend thing, though, because like this whole time Seth's like claiming that he's antisocial, he's a loner, and like this contributes to like why he did what he did, and he has no friends. Dude, you're literally in a band. A band has what, a minimum of like four members. You have to have guitar, bass, singer, and drummer. That's four members. So you got friends there. You're a dope dealer and a user. So everyone loves their dope dealer. So you got friends there, and you definitely got people that you're smoking with. So there's some friends. Like, I'm just confused how you're wanting sympathy right now, knowing that that's not, like...
It's because he's in jail, he's had time to think, and he's trying to make himself look better. Trying to make the murder of his family, trying to put blame on anyone but himself. That's all it is.
Right.
Notice there's no ownership in any of this. It's, well, I did this because my parents raised me this way. And I did this because my dad hated me. And I did this. You did this because it is something that you decided to do. Okay. Your parents, maybe your dad was a little mean to you. But at the end of the day, you have a choice. And you made the choice to do that.
Exactly. And I wrote that down. I'm like, unfortunately, you know, you're like, you're just really a crap kid that didn't get the help that you needed.
Yeah.
Because you were displaying all the signs, like they were there. And no one sought to help you at the time. And but again, you got to take ownership for your problems. And I want to point out also, like, right when he got in jail. So this was in 2007, like, his testimonial. But once he, like, got in jail as an 18-year-old, still with an 18-year-old's mind, he wrote a letter to Wallace and his friends of the band and stated, quote, this is the break the band needs.
See, and there you go. And there you go. Now I've confirmed that I don't believe nothing that you're saying. So now you're like, oh, snap, our band about to take off. Well, let's think hypothetically. If the band takes off, sir, you can't do nothing. You in jail.
Exactly. So like we said, you playing your toothpick?
So what is your contribution? What's that song from Doug? Drumming on a trash can. Like, what are you going to be drumming on a trash can when they call you to make a beat? Or to add your little contribution to the band? No, sir. If anything, no one's going to want to listen to your band because they're going to associate it with a murderer.
Exactly. You ruined the band is what you did.
Yeah.
Oh, so.
What a fool.
But, you know, okay, here's the thing. And as I researched further, like, this whole testimonial was supposed to, like, shed light that Seth had, like, turned his life around, right? Like, I have found God. I'm a Christian. I have found religion. Let me write this testimonial. Like, these are the reasons that I did what I did. And it's not because of me. It's because of all these other things, blah, 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 blah. So this was his attempt of, quote, turning his life around. Mm-hmm. However, when you pull up his records while in prison, he had 29 misconducts on his prison record for the following: theft, fighting, assaulting, possession of weapons, possession of drugs, substance abuse, and gambling. Okay. You're not a model inmate, buddy.
No.
And you know what? Jesus may have hung out with the sinners and the robbers and the thieves, but like, who you fooling?
Seriously, like, all it is wrapped in one is you're a fronter. That's what we can call you. You're a fronter. You thought that you was going to say one thing and people were going to be like, oh.
That makes so much sense.
We're so sorry. Me. No.
Yeah.
I see past it, sir. No.
But if you are wondering about Wallace, Stephen Wallace, and kind of like what happened, because clearly, you know, he had to get charged. I mean, he like literally helped wrap bodies in sheets and then unwrap them and then move them around. Mm-hmm. Wallace also admitted to disposing of the gun in a nearby like lake, pond, river thing, some body of water.
Okay.
And actually, Wallace was found not guilty because he ended up persuading the jury that he only helped Seth out of fear of his own life. So he put on this like whole sob story that like Seth was threatening him and Seth was doing this and he feared for his own life. And Seth still had a gun when he arrived and he felt like his life was in danger. And the jury bought it. However, while on parole, Stephen Wallace couldn't be a good citizen, and he broke his parole, which ultimately landed him back in jail.
What did he do to break his parole? Do you know?
Yeah, I do, and I didn't write it down because I felt like it was irrelevant, but I do want to say it was either like domestic abuse, something along the lines with assault, some physical altercation landed him back in jail.
Okay, well, that was just, you know, God, you know, handing you what you initially deserved.
Like the people didn't give you what you deserved, but God was like, okay, let me sprinkle my magic. Mm-hmm.
Like maybe he gave you the opportunity to be a good person and you didn't do that.
Well, you know, like we said, we read each other's mind because my next sentence says you caught a break. And this was your chance to like get your life on track, to go and be like a motivational speaker. Like you could have had the best story out there. Like you could have changed lives and you ended up where your buddy's at.
Yeah. Mm. Birds of a feather, I'm telling you.
Yeah. So let's bring this full circle. Let's get to where we are today. Seth Pravacki is not still in prison because
he's dead.
On July 15th, 2010, Seth, at 30 years old, was shot and killed during a prison escape in Kinross Correctional Facility in Michigan. And the news media had a frenzy because they called it a full circle moment.
How ironic. That's really ironic. You shot your whole family dead. And how did you die? With a gunshot. That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
That is God saying, you thought you were going to spill the word. You thought you were going to spread my word and claim you found me, but it was all a crock of shite.
And, you know, like this is 3 years after he wrote his religious testimony.
Yeah, but if you so religious, why are you breaking out of jail, sir? Why are you doing that?
Mm-hmm. So it was Seth and two other inmates, and they took over a driver who was driving a semi-truck. Guards caught wind of this. They told them to stop. The other two ended up, like, surrendering. And around, like, 9:10 a.m., Seth decided to keep on with the plan, and he was shot and killed by the guards.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's how it was supposed to be. It was payback from his family.
Yep.
And God was like, say the word. And they was like, word.
It's time.
Yeah.
And I mean, like the neat, I was like watching some, and then when that story broke, like when Seth like passed away, and the prosecutor that like tried the case, mm-hmm. he was just kind of like, it's not like you could see his smirk, but it was almost like what we're saying right now, like, huh, how ironic, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You did all this, claimed you felt awful. Then was like, oh, this is our big break, guys. The rock meathead band is gonna blow up. And then you wanted to say, oh, never mind, I was on drugs and it was my dad's fault because they raised me not to believe in God. And then, oh, never mind, I believe in God and the Lord is my savior. And then you get shot because you broke out of prison.
Yep.
And had all this stuff on your prison record.
Mm-hmm.
Make it make sense.
He can't.
He can't, and he won't, because he down there with the devil dancing.
The thing is like, and a lot of like the news outlet sources that I was like watching, the only thing they were still really upset about is there was never a definite why.
Yeah,
don't
give you that.
And that's the thing, you can speculate, but like at the end of the day, can you really say like this kid killed his whole family plus a grandmother and his brother's girlfriend over the fact that his dad got mad at him that day?
Because if that's the case, you should have only taken it out of your dad.
Like, doesn't
once you came down
sense.
With that gun and you saw that your dad had left, you should have put that gun away. You know what I'm saying? Not to say that his dad deserved to get shot or anything, but if your anger was really and truly directed towards your father and your father only, he should have been the only source of your anger. There was no need to take out your brother. There was no need to take out your mother. There was no need to take out your grandfather. And there was absolutely no need to take out your brother's girlfriend.
Who's not even your family.
Like,
just thought she was coming to get some sweet potato casserole.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Mm-mm. And he says it wasn't premeditated. And that's like in the confession. That's the part like that we were reading, that he was at Major's buying ammunition. And like they bring up that surveillance. They're like, yeah. Well, then why were you here getting ammunition a day before these murders took place? And he's like, oh, well, I was just planning on going hunting. And, you know, they can't like he didn't get the ammunition sold to him, though. Because he was underage. They didn't sell it to him. So they were never really sure where the ammunition came from. Obviously, there was enough in the house already. But it's just like, did you really premeditate this? Or was this like, I didn't wake up to kill my family, but they made me mad?
Mm-hmm. I know. I mean, you should know that you're going to go to a place. You're not old enough to buy ammunition. And also, how are these guns so accessible in the home? If you knew that your son was a quote-unquote psychopath, why did he have access to these guns? Not
well,
to
the
point
second,
blame on anyone, but...
No. But the second you felt like your son had these tendencies, if you're going to keep a gun in the house, like, I know where James's guns are. Am I about to touch them? Hell to the no. Mm-hmm. But do I know where they are? Yes, I do. If he felt like I became a danger to myself, I hope that James would put them in a safe, locked away, that I didn't know the combination to.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like the things weren't in place. Like, it just wasn't in place. He shouldn't have been able to access them so easily.
Yeah.
Especially if they knew that he was like escalating with the stealing and his behavior was getting more erratic. Like, that is just, again, not pointing blame at anyone. It's just... something.
Oh, no. Yeah, exactly.
You know, would have made notes to be like, oh, we should probably put these things away.
Because he should have never done what he did.
No, not at all.
But yeah, that is the case of Seth Pravacki. Mm. Whose life came full circle.
It really did.
Mm-hmm.
That's a true justice is served, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you got exactly what you did. You got what you deserved. So.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We made pretty good time.
We did.
So 23
minutes.
That's really good.
Yeah.
But we do have to tell them that the bell doesn't dismiss them.
We do. But before we dismiss you again, happy birthday, Brooke.
Ah, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye, guys.
Bye.